You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You are listening to Claret and Blue, an Aston Villa podcast brought to you by Birmingham Live.
Hello, welcome back to the Claret and Blue podcast. My name is Dan Rowlands and I'm joined this afternoon by Ashley Priest. We're doing this live on Facebook. It might make its way to YouTube. I've not decided yet. Depends how the next 15-20 minutes go, Ash. How are you, first of all? You okay?
Yeah, I'm all right. It's a bit of a lull at the moment. There's lots going on. I'm just waiting for the press conference, really, on Thursday. But yeah, game Friday. Game's on. Friday night football at Villa Park. Yeah, should be a good atmosphere down there, very solemn, and yeah, we'll pay our respects to Her Majesty as well. So, yeah, football on, and back down Villa Park on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll talk about that game shortly. If anyone's watching along, they want to ask any questions, we'll have 15 or 20 minutes of chat this afternoon, so we'll be doing another preview on Thursday, so I don't want to go too in-depth on Southampton this afternoon. It's you and me doing the preview on Thursday, so we'll just be repeating ourselves. We will obviously talk about Her Majesty the Queen briefly. It's a very strange time to be living in, isn't it, for the entire country, basically. There's nobody, any age that you could look at and go, they've known anything else apart from the Queen. She's been a constant throughout, and yeah, it's a strange time. Obviously, the football last weekend was postponed. Football's back this week. Championship playing tonight. To keep it kind of football-ish, do you think it was the right decision, the wrong decision to postpone last weekend?
Tough one, isn't it, really? Looking at hindsight, you'd probably say play last weekend and then have this one off ahead of the funeral. But obviously, the funeral wasn't organised then. So, tough decision to make, I think scrap it all. I think postpone both games and until we've laid her to rest properly, kind of thing. I don't know. There's no right or wrong answer, I guess. Mm. What's happening's happening. A couple of games have been postponed, obviously, over the weekend as well. So, yeah, it is what it is, kind of. And we'll pay our respects on Monday with a bank holiday and international break after that then. So yeah, no right or wrong answer then, really.
Yeah, I think it would have been nice to have the whole kind of football coming together and singing the national anthem and minute silences and applause or black armbands or whatever it might be. And you'll see that next week, of course, with England playing, where that will be most prominent for the international side. It's difficult, isn't it? Because I don't want to come across as disrespectful, because I don't mean to be, but football is an escape away from real life. So to cancel, we've all still got to go to work, but to cancel the fun activity of football on a weekend does feel like a bit of a downer kind of thing. So I like to kind of escape away from daily life, and every news channel, everyone's wearing black and it's very solemn, as it should be. But you kind of want to, we're doing this podcast to talk about Villa coming up, to get away from all that. So I don't want to kind of go into it too much. But yeah, like you said, I think it would have been nice to kind of come together and pay respects, in a massive kind of national way with all the stadiums belting out the national anthem and things like that. And that's what this weekend will be an opportunity to do. And as Simon says, the first comment that came through, massive game on Friday. So from a football perspective, we'll go back to that. It is a big game now.
We had that momentum off the back of the Man City draw. It was pumping down Villa Park. You want to bank into the next one as quick as you can. And we were playing the team below us in the table, Leicester, and it would have been a great time to play them, like you say, Dan. So they've had to regroup. Massive game Friday, Southampton. Team Villa should be beating at home. Mm. I think we smashed them last season, 3-0, was it? But they're a different team this season, young team. Hassan has had a good summer, recruitment-wise. They recruited young players from the likes of Man City and stuff. So they'll be hungry to impress this season. So, yeah, tough little game, but one Villa should be winning. Going into the international break, you don't want to be going into that little 2-week period off the back of a home defeat to Southampton, do you, really, given the form we've shown this season? So yeah, it's a massive game for me. Is a point good enough? I think a point is not really, is it, really? You don't be having a point at home, given Villa's position in the table at the moment. So big, big game, this one. If you win, it's all looking decent again, isn't it, really? Mm. You're winning two out of your three home games this season so far, and then you've got two away games to come then with Leeds and Brentford, Leeds and Forest. After that, it'll be tough places to go. So, yeah, you want to bounce into the international week off the back of a solid home win, and hopefully they can do that on Friday. Yeah, that massive win. I agree with that comment. Huge, huge fixture on Friday.
Yeah, it's a strange kind of back end of 2022 now, because you can kind of ask like different periods of the season and think, well, you know, we've got a 13-day gap since Manchester City. We'll have a 16-day gap between Southampton and Leeds. Leeds won't have played, I think they played September 3rd, so they don't play for a month, which is a strange time. Are they going to be kind of really super prepared and up for that game, or will they be a little bit lethargical, or, you know, lacking match sharpness by not playing for a month? I kind of look at Leeds as I have done since they got promoted, and I think they'll either be brilliant or terrible. So, you know, what's going to turn up there? And then you've got this period of football that's going to be really jammed in up until the World Cup break, and then it's another 6 weeks off where we then go another time to kind of reset, to coin a Gerrard phrase. So it's a real strange end to the back end of this year now, that we kind of feel like we play a game, have a massive break, and then all of a sudden we'll play like eight games in 3 weeks or whatever, and it'll all come out of nowhere. There'll be a cup game in there somewhere as well. So it feels like a bit of a strange time, and you wonder how Gerrard and the coaching staff at Bodymore Heath will have handled the last kind of 10 days or so since Man City.
The momentum was with Villa off the back of that draw, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, exactly.
That performance surprised everyone, given what we've seen previously. So good chance to reset, maybe. To take stock, because obviously the form wasn't good going into that one. So Gerrard's had more time to work with the players and analyse where they've gone wrong this season. And I quite like Gerrard's reaction after the draw. He said, maybe I need to change now. Maybe I need to be a bit more pragmatic. So hopefully gives him time to take stock as well, which I quite liked, the humility side he's shown, because he's not perfect either. So that's I thought that was very good from the manager. So yeah, interesting to hear from Gerrard on Thursday, see how he's managed his little period and what he'll do in the international break. A lot will be heading out for international match action. We've got Dendonka will have some game time for Belgium, which should be welcome as well. And people like McGinn hopefully can find some form for Scotland and bring you back to a Villa shirt as well. So, yeah, I mean, Friday night, Southampton, and Villa haven't got another home game for another month then. So a bit of a long wait for home fans to see Villa once more against Chelsea at home, 16th of October. So a bit of a wait for home games as well. So, yeah, big character needed. Friday night, get that win. A couple of weeks break, and then you got two back-to-back away games. So we'll find out a lot more about Villa after those as well. So, yeah, good chance to take stock, reset, as you said, Dan. And it's imperative now we show form. 10 games to go before the World Cup. We need to be climbing that table rapid. So, yeah, stay for Gerrard and the players.
I don't want to phrase this as kind of the benefits of the break that they've had since Man City, given the obvious reasons why the break exists in the first place. But again, just keeping it from a football perspective, what can Gerrard and the coaching staff have done in the last 10, 12 days since Manchester City and Southampton Friday night? What can they have worked on during that? Because it is a bonus time. You don't get these kind of breaks until an international break. So to have 29 days, whatever it is, off between three or four games is very unusual. So what can they actually have done with that time, do you think?
Well, Gerrard's been constant about the detail of defending. He mentioned that against Arsenal and Villa were beaten there. So defensive work needs to be upped, really. Villa have looked a bit wobbly, haven't they, this season? I know the injury to Diego Carlos didn't help. So more time on the training field, and hopefully we'll see that in action on Friday. Villa much more structured, much more organised at the back, and they're your foundation to go and get 3 points, aren't they? So hopefully it benefits Villa that way. More time to work on set pieces, defending and attacking them as well. So that's been a bit of a sticky one for Villa in recent weeks as well. But yeah, we need to start to see something now. And Gerrard always says more time on the training field is beneficial for him and the playing staff. So hopefully that comes. We see that on Friday.
There's a comment here from Darren Stewart that's interesting. He says, we're always told that the boys are working hard in between games, but unfortunately we don't often see the positive outcomes of that. Is that a bit of a concern for you? Again, this goes back longer ago than when Dean Smith said something about kind of training ground players that can do well in training, but they're not, you know, it's doing well on match days is the big thing. Is that a bit of a concern for you that we kind of do hear those same things, that, you know, it's been a good week at Bodymore, they've worked hard, they're trained hard, and then they come out and concede straight away or have a sloppy mistake or something? You think, well, it's all well and good working 5 days in the week, well, but work well on the weekend.
Yeah, exactly. They've got to back it up now. They've won one game out of six in the league this season. They are where they are for a reason in the table. So it's about character now, Dan. Can they come back and prove the critics wrong and get some wins on the ball? Because that's what we're all craving for, and to show what all the early season, all that pre-season promise was about, really. The squad's capable for me. There's loads of talent in that squad. And then you start bringing it together now. Friday night, Southampton, home game, packed house down there. Good chance to show that. And then we can start kicking on again after the international break. So you need to start showing it now. I think we're growing tired of the same old excuses and the mistakes keep cropping in and switching off after scoring and going down so early. So time to show it now.
Another kind of benefit from the break that we've had, and we've not heard anything from Villa with no press conference and stuff like that, again, for obvious reasons, is injuries and kind of player fitness. Again, a little bit extra time to recover with no game being there on Saturday. The players that are fit, you know, it's just a more recuperation time to get the body ready for Friday night. Matty Cash, I don't know what the latest is with him. He's not in the Poland squad, which we'll talk about the internationals in a sec. Ben Donker is probably the other one to miss out on his first game with an illness rather than an actual injury. He will, you would assume, be back raring to go for Friday night as well, and that gives Villa another option. So again, another kind of mini benefit from a difficult time is Villa have got more players to choose from and should be fit and ready to go now.
Yeah, 100%. And Donker will be back and available for selection. Ideal if you want to see a game out. And Donker, I can't see him starting on Friday, but if you want to see a game out, he's your man to come on and calm it all down for Villa. So yeah, bonus to have him available. Yeah, Matty Cash, not expecting to see him on Friday. Probably he'll be targeting the Leeds game early October for his return. But we've got Ashley Young now, who's more than earned his shirt, so he'll start on Friday. Jan Bednarek, the loanee, I think he'll be ineligible to play against his parent club, so he won't be available for that one. And that's it, really, as you were. So Ashley Young coming up right back, and we've got Dendonka fit and available to give Gerard more ideas in that midfield department as well, so we'll see.
Just on the international lads, we'll talk about the England ones in a sec. We'll just mention Cash missing Poland, Bednarek in. McGinn's been added to Scotland squad today, which is, as you'd expect. I think they've got three games coming up. No Douglas Luiz and Coutinho from Brazil. Martinez is in with Argentina, but no Buendia. Kamara and Dean, I don't think the France squad's been announced yet, but you assume they're shoo-ins. Certainly Dean is, at least, and Kamara was in the last squad, so they should both be in there. And Dendonka with Belgium. I don't think I've missed anyone off there. Forgive me if I have. But when I wrote all those down in my notes to the side there, I thought, it's frustrating that we're doing so poorly this season because we've got a squad of internationals there for good sides as well. Brazil, Argentina, France, Belgium, England. Why aren't we able to translate these good players into something that fits into a coherent system? That's what frustrates me. Have you got the answer to that, Ash?
Especially when John McGinn looks like Maradona when he plays for Scotland as well. Yeah. As a number 10. Free scoring number 10 for Scotland, McGinn. But hopefully that he likes his Scotland camp. McGinn does back home, and he's a fan favourite up there. So I think he needs that little boost to feel loved again and find some form. That's important for me from the international break. Scotland have got three games as well, Dan. Three games. Two against Ukraine, the other one against Ireland as well, Republic of Ireland. So we come against O'Connor Hurahan. Elsewhere, two Swedes involved, Olsen and Augustinsson. Augustinsson needs some minutes as well. So he's got Serbia and Slovenia, so he needs some match action just in case Luka Dean pulls up with an injury.
Good chance for Bednarek as well for minutes with Poland. I don't know whether he does play for them. I assume he does.
Yes, he does.
Massive guess for me. But again, not played for Southampton, joined Villa, didn't play. Obviously missed the Leicester game because it was postponed. Won't play against Southampton since it's his parent club. So the international break for him is a bit of a training camp. Go there and play a couple of games for Poland and come back to Villa.
He's beneficial, for sure. Leon Bailey is against Argentina later this month. So hopefully bagging against Martinez, he'll be hoping for. And two lads as well, Cameron Archer. Hopefully he's involved with the 21s. He scored last time he was involved with them. Him and Jacob Ramsey probably headed with the 21s. Squad announcement on Thursday for them pair. And Cameron Archer needs minutes, doesn't he, Dan? Really does. Do feel sorry for him at the moment. Just not getting a look in. So hopefully he has a nice camp with England and scores some goals and come bouncing into the final run again before the World Cup. So and the international break could be beneficial to some more than others, and hopefully they come back fit and firing and full of confidence, ready to push Villa up the table, because that's what we need.
Yeah, we often talk about an international break and whether it's a good time or a bad time for their respective clubs to have it. And it, from a minutes perspective, it's a good time to be going out and playing some games for a lot of these players. And I think, the perfect cherry on the cake is you beat Southampton and you beat Leeds either side of the international break, and you go, well, that was a perfect little window for Aston Villa to get 6 points either side of it, 3 points either side of it, sorry. Just touching on the England ones, so I know that Jake Bayliss is doing a written piece on this later today or tomorrow, so just to kind of branch into that conversation as well. Tyrone Mings, Ollie Watkins, Jacob Ramsey, Danny Ings, Ashley Young. I've said those there in order of at least likely to get into the squad. Imagine a late call up for Ashley Young back into the England squad. Oh, I'd love to see it.
That'd be something.
Most likely, and Mings and Watkins. I don't think any of the Villa players will be in this England squad for this upcoming break, to be honest. Possibly Mings, but I doubt it.
Yeah.
It's now up to them, I think. It's the three, isn't it? Ramsey, Watkins and Mings. Ings isn't going to get called up, and obviously neither is Ashley Young. That'd probably be a disaster for England, to be honest, especially how stuck we are with defenders. Yeah, it's those three, Ramsey, Watkins and Mings are the main three, but now they should be pushing for the Qatar selection now, not this upcoming break. Obviously, if they are in there, that's a massive bonus for them, but you know, Villa not starting great isn't good for them personally either for their international ambitions. You know, Tyrone Mings is 29, I think. He'll be 33 the next time the next World Cup comes round. Still possible to make it, but obviously the further along you go, the less likely it is. So now they've got a chance to impress Southgate in this next, what is it, do you say it's 10 games before Qatar? Do you think any of those can get into the England squad?
That's the carrot for them now, and hopefully that's beneficial for Villa as well.
Hmm.
A lot of players, Coutinho, we haven't mentioned, he needs to get in that Brazil squad as well. First time he's been left out of Brazil for 11 months. So big time for Coutinho as well. In terms of England, I've quite liked Tyrone Mings' form so far. I think he's done well for Villa. I really do.
Yeah,
one of Villa's most consistent performers so far. Mm-hmm. But like you said, that's not saying much for a side who've won one game from six, is it really? So yeah, Watkins as well. I've been impressed with him, especially last time out against Man City. Watkins has been brilliant that night as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's down to them. Big carrot for them. They've got to kick on now. It's now or never for the likes of Mings to get in a World Cup squad, I believe. And hopefully he shows that form and continues the way he's going at Villa to force his way into Southgate's squad. I think Southgate will make a preliminary squad end of October. So it's a crucial time for a lot of players now.
Mm.
Emi Buendia, can he get into Argentina's mix? He's been missed out a few times as well. So it's, yeah, real, real critical stage for some Villa players. On the cusp of international squads and selection. So we hear from it all the time, don't we? Watkins in interviews, desperate to make the World Cup squad. So, yeah, I think it's time to focus now, hone in, tunnel vision, as it were, and desperate to make the squad. So, and hopefully that benefits Villa, that start showing their form at club level to force the manager's hand at international level. So hopefully it works out. Beneficial for Villa.
Yeah, I've said a few times, Matt always says about, you know, you don't want your best players going off to England because they end up going off to a northwest powerhouse in Liverpool, Man City or Man United or whatever. But if you're doing well as a club side, your club players play for their international side. That's just the way it goes. And you want your players to be in those squads because it means they're the best of that country's pick, which means they're good players for you at a club level. I think there's times gone by you'd be looking at a Ramsey or a Watkins or a Mings or whoever and going, oh, they've been unlucky not to get into this squad. This one coming up now, I'd be going, they're lucky to be in that squad.
Yeah,
you don't look That's at any fair. Sides and go, they've won one game and six. They should be in the England squad because they're obviously struggling for form at the moment. So, you know, I'll be surprised if any of them do get in there. But it's the World Cup one. It's those 10 games now coming up to do something. If Watkins scores six goals in the next 10, you'd be going, there's an outside chance of him getting into that squad. But is he going to score six goals in the next 10? Who knows? But if he does, obviously it's good for Aston Villa, and that's the only first and foremost thing I really care about, to be honest. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. It's more of a bit of a catch-up episode, more so than anything. Like I said, it was you and me doing a match preview specifically for Southampton on Thursday afternoon, so I didn't want to go too heavy on that. How's your running, by the way? We've not spoke about it for a while. Obviously, we're doing the half marathon for people that don't know. I know we've kind of half spoken about this before. I know you've got a head torch nearby, which you bought for your 5 a.m. runs. So we have talked about this a bit, but for the sake of on air, are you still going out at 5 a.m. for your 5 a.m.?
I've been slacking with the running club. I've been managing it. I'm going tomorrow, though. I've set my alarm. I've been snoozing my alarm next to me the last few times. I've been meaning to get up at 4:45. So, yeah, poor me. But, yeah, I went out, did a 10K last Sunday. I'm ticking over slightly. But, yeah, half marathon next May, isn't it? So I've got to get my thing into gear. But, yeah, hopefully out tomorrow at 5 in the morning, Sutton Park, with my head torch on, running around like a lunatic. So hopefully, yeah, keep ticking over, hopefully, then.
Okay, I'll ask you Thursday afternoon whether you did it on Wednesday. Let's come back to this and see whether you did it. We'll call it a day there. Ash, thanks so much for your time, as always. Thanks, everyone, for watching along on Facebook Live as well. Like I said, we'll be back on Thursday afternoon with a match preview for Southampton. I think me and Matt Kendrick might do the post-Southampton show on Friday night after the game, so a late one rather than Saturday morning. So stay tuned for that.
Thank you for listening to Claret and Blue, an Aston Villa podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, then please do let us know. We love hearing your feedback. We'll be back soon with another episode, but until then, up the Villa.